We have just been considering the subject of present suffering and future glory. This order of events is sometimes referred to by the expression cross before crown. Writing his last letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul has something to say on these lines, and we will take our scripture portion from 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. The second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Two distinct lines of teaching meet in these few verses. The first concerns life, and it states that if we died with Christ, we shall also live with him. Although we may be unfaithful, he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. We are assured of eternal life in him. But it is a different matter when it is a question of reigning. Here we are told that if we suffer, a better translation is patiently endure, if we patiently endure, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us this great honour. It is obvious that in all we have said as to present suffering and future glory, an element of time is involved, and we have given this little meditation the title of Evening and Morning, because this is the sequence which God himself has ordained. In the very first chapter in the Bible, giving the account of creation, after each creative act, we are told the evening and the morning were the first day, or the second, third, and so on until the sixth day. And so there is the divine order: evening and morning, suffering and glory, cross and crown. The Lord's instructions as to the light which was to be kept burning in the tabernacle are given in Exodus chapter 27 and verses 20 and 21, where the same order is seen. Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute for ever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. These instructions are repeated in Leviticus chapter 24. The Companion Bible Appendix number 165 makes it clear that the Hebrew day runs from evening to evening, so that our 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. is the first hour of the night, and our 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. is the first hour of the day. There are devout Jews who still light their little lamps on Friday evening, keeping the Sabbath day, which extends over the 24 hours until Saturday evening. David observed the same order in his prayer life, and in Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17, he says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Being a Hebrew of the Hebrews, Paul uses the expression night and day at least 6 or 7 times, and in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12 he writes, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light." It is said that the darkest hour is just before the dawn, and as we think of the moral and spiritual condition of the world today, surely it cannot be long before those who are watchful will be able to discern the first rays of the Son of Righteousness, who is to arise with healing in his wings. The second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 6, refers back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 and the first day of creation, and says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or person of Jesus Christ." And Paul reminded the Ephesian saints that they were at some time darkness, but having received the light, they should consequently walk as children of light. There is a lovely thought in Psalm 30 and verse 5, which reads, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And it's comforting to know that the word endure in this Old Testament verse is very often translated lodge. Sorrow is only a lodger, and the end or goal which God has in view is joy. And so, as we saw earlier, if we are to be privileged to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, we must patiently endure until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. I wonder if you know that lovely hymn by Jane Crudson, which is based on Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Oh, for the peace which floweth as a river, making life's desert places bloom and smile. Oh, for the faith to grasp heaven's bright forever amid the shadows of earth's little while. A little while for patient vigil keeping, to face the storm, to wrestle with the strong. A little while to sow the seed with weeping, then bind the sheaves and sing the harvest song. A little while mid shadow and illusion to strive by faith love's mysteries to spell, then read each dark enigma's bright solution, and hail sight's verdict, he doth all things well. And he, who is himself the gift and giver, the future glory and the present smile, with the bright promise of the glad forever, will light the shadows of the little while."